When you think of images of God, what pictures pop into your mind? Or if you try to explain God, what are some of the metaphors or words or images that you use? Some people, when they talk about God, they think of a rock. God is solid. He is a solid rock. Or perhaps we think of a great mountain, a huge, unmovable, strong, and mighty mountain. When you try to describe God, or when you think of an image of God in your mind, what picture do you see? Some people see things like joy, maybe a rainbow, or clouds, thinking of God up in the sky. Others have said that God is my co-pilot, or that God is my pilot. Some people don't like the co-pilots. They say God is my pilot. And they come up with these images. When I think about this, I can't help but go back to Isaiah and think of those wonderful words that he shares about the Messiah, the wonderful counselor, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What images, what metaphors do you use when you think about God? Jeremiah picks an interesting metaphor or image. Did you hear it? Did you catch what he said that God is like? Jeremiah here says, "Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail." Can you think about that? Can you imagine that? That here is Jeremiah, a prophet of God, and what does he say to God? "God, you are like a creek that I thought was going to last, but dried up. Here, you are out in the wilderness. You're looking for water to supply your needs. And you go and you set up your camp. You look and you say, surely this water is going to last. It looks strong. It looks plentiful. It will supply my needs, even in the tough times, even in the dry seasons." And you set up camp and you go to fill your canteen and the brook is gone. There's no water. That's what Jeremiah says God is like. In fact, when we look at this chapter, when we look here at the 15th chapter of Jeremiah, we realize that the prophet is having a bad day. He's having a tough time, and he is letting go his frustrations and his words. You know, we turn today to one of those shadowy corners of the Bible. Today, we look in the places, in the corners of the book of Jeremiah that we always don't want to go to, that we'd like to skim over because it's a little bit difficult, it's a little bit hard. Here is the prophet dealing with a difficult time, and he speaks the truth to God about his feelings. And sometimes we're a little uncomfortable with this, and we'd rather hear some of the other beautiful, surprising words of Jeremiah. In fact, this week when I was working on this text, I posted to Facebook that I was struggling in the book of Jeremiah, and I was bogged down, and I said, you know, he can be so depressing sometimes. And people responded, thank you to responded, telling me some of the wonderful passages of Jeremiah, and there are some very good ones and some very powerful ones, and we need to read those. But we also have to go into the corner, to the places where sometimes we don't like to be, and read the truth. That sometimes when you're a prophet, it's hard work. Why? Why is Jeremiah having a hard time? Is it because he's like Jonah and he's turned away from the word of God? Is it because he refuses to speak what God wants him to speak, refuses to do what God wants him to do? No. Jeremiah is in trouble because he has been obedient to God and to God's word. Because he has been called to speak a word that people do not want to hear. And the truth, people, is that if we are obedient to God, fully obedient to God, there are times when we have to speak a word that people do not want to hear. And sometimes we have to do the hard work of speaking the truth. Why is it that there are some words that are hard for people to hear? Well, it's very simple, actually. The concept of following God and that getting you in trouble, the reason that happens is very simple. It's simple because the world is broken because of the great fall. Because the world is not working in the original design that God planned it to. And because of the broken world, we get distracted by other voices and we follow other ideas instead of God's. And here's what happens, essentially. If you can imagine that God has a way, and here is God's way, and it's a pretty straightforward path. It's a pretty straightforward direction. And God is traveling straight on his direction. And the ideal is that humanity would be right there beside God in a parallel line following that path. And everything would run smooth. We would be side by side with God, and there would be no disruptions. But what happens is that God is following his path, his right path and his way, and humanity separates itself from God, pulls itself from God, and kind of tilts in a different direction. It wants to go in a different direction. And what happens in geometry when you have two lines that are going in a different direction? You've got one that is going very straight in a direct direction, and you've got another one that has tilted. Eventually, those two lines are going to collide. And that's what happens in humanity and with God. God is going about his work and doing what he needs to do, what God wants to do, and humanity has turned, and eventually those two collide. That's what happened with the cross. God had come, had given his only son. And Jesus, the Messiah, was working and moving and doing God's will. He was inviting people to repent, to follow a new way, the right way, God's way. And he was going down that straight, godly path. But the problem was is that there were others who understood the right path. And they had their idea about what was righteous and what was good, and they were going in a different direction. Some of them said, you know, our Messiah is going to be a great and mighty conqueror. The Messiah is going to be someone who is strong and powerful, who will unite the people of Israel, all of them, to develop a huge army that will overthrow Rome and establish a great kingdom. But that's not who Jesus was. He used the power of words, of teaching, and of healing, not destruction. There were some who decided that they understood that the way of God was to follow the law, to be strict adherers to the law. And in order to do that, they developed their own laws, their own rules. We've got to follow these rules to make sure we don't break these rules. And the problem is that when we develop our own rules, we get the focus wrong. And so the Pharisees had developed their own rules, and they were convinced that that was the way to God. And when God showed up, they were so focused on their own rules that they didn't even notice that God was there. And then, of course, there were those who sided with Rome, that realized that there were advantages if you just follow the people of Rome. The Sadducees, you see, they were folks who would allow Rome to do what it needed to do,
And of course, they were repaid by getting breaks on taxes and having the right kind of leadership positions. And all of these ways, all of these directions, and here was Jesus speaking the truth, and the moment came when they collided together. And it's the same thing that's happening in Jeremiah. Jeremiah is called by God to speak a word because a great collision is about to happen. God is going in God's faithful way, but the people of Judea have turned. They've put their focus on something else. They have allowed their people to turn to other gods. Your neighbors, you know, they're close by, and they're worshiping this fertility god. And you begin to look and you notice that, you know, when they make sacrifices to their god, it seems like they get more rain than we do. And they seem to develop more cattle than we do. Maybe we should sacrifice to that god. I mean, it's not really going to hurt if we do that, if we give a little sacrifice to that god. And they started turning to a different story, to a different way. And then the kings and the political leaders, they were looking at different ways. Instead of relying on God, they relied on their own political alliances. Here was Judah. Israel, the northern kingdom, had been taken. Judah was there. And there were two great superpowers. There was Egypt to the south and Babylon to the north. But through their political alliances, they felt like they were safe. But a collision was coming. And Jeremiah was telling the people, a collision is coming. Straighten up. And they didn't want to hear it. They were satisfied with their way of life. And they got tired of listening to a cranky preacher. And so they began to attack him. They began to make life really hard for Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had had enough. Lord, won't you just come down and zap my enemies, straighten them up? Lord, I've been faithful to you. I've spoken your word, and they won't listen. Jeremiah was tired, and he let it all out. He spoke his frustrations truthfully and honestly to God, speaking the truth is hard work. And so, church, we need to hear this, and we need to realize that if we are bold enough to speak the truth, to speak God's truth, we might get in a little bit of trouble. Things might get really hard for us. People might turn against us. You know, I remember going to Washington for a conference. And I went there and visited with the Church of the Savior. Church of the Savior was a small church that was very active in the community there in D.C. And their idea, their understanding was, is that they would really truly focus on two things. On people's inward journey, developing their inward spirituality. And in turn, that inward spirituality would guide their outward journey, how they would serve the community. And they were very active in serving the community and going out and reaching out and trying to help people that were dealing with drugs and alcohol abuse, to help the poor and those who were devastated and struggling. And they developed different little churches because they would only allow their church to get so big, and then they would start another church, another kind of community. And I was visiting with one of these communities, and they were telling us their story, sharing their story. And we actually got to go out in the neighborhood, and we found a place where they had built affordable housing. And they decided one of the ways that they could help the community was to provide affordable housing. Well, if you say the word affordable housing, and that has to do with your neighborhood, people tend to get pretty uneasy about that. They get uneasy about it because they think affordable housing means that you're going to let drug dealers and people that are just going to tear the place up and people that are just going to tear up the community. Which isn't the case of all. It just means that you're going to provide a place that people can actually afford to live in. People that work normal jobs can actually pay and can live there. And so this community was working to provide affordable housing. They had saved enough money to buy this building. They were refinishing it. And all of a sudden, they ran into a lot of trouble with the community. I mean, the community got downright ugly with them because they were speaking the truth. But eventually they prevailed. And they didn't just build one building with affordable housing, but multiple. It happened too with the church here in Northern Virginia. In fact, they got sued by the people. If you dare to speak the truth, you might find trouble. Are we willing to speak the truth? Jeremiah was tired. He was kind of tired of the truth. And he had this little rant. He had an open and honest conversation with God. And he said, God, you are like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. And God responded. God knew what a difficult time Jeremiah was having. And how did God respond? Did he jump all over him? Did he yell at him? Did he cause bolts of lightning to come down and zap him for saying that? No. God said, Jeremiah, if you'll just come back, if you'll take me back, if you'll keep on, I will make you a fortified city. I will make you strong. And the people will fight against you, but they will not prevail. And then God says, for I am with you to save you and deliver you. Speaking the truth can be very hard work. Can be very, very hard. But God promises not to ever leave us. There may be times when we're not sure if God is there, but He promises that He's with us to save us and redeem us. And so the question for us today is not what is the truth, not do we dare read these difficult passages in Jeremiah, not what are we going to do, but the question is, as a church, will we dare speak the truth? I hope so. And when we do, we will know that God is with us. Thanks be to God.